You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast, we close out another week. It's Friday, March 8th, 2019. This is John B. from GangreneNation.com, your host. As always, if you enjoy this show, please leave it a positive review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it. And you can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. We'll deliver the show to your device each day. You can listen to us whenever you feel like it, whether that's on your commute, at the gym. You know, I got scolded a few times by a listener from Maine. I made a comment a few months ago in the cold of winter about how it was probably too cold to run. You know, I usually say you can listen to this podcast when you're on your run. And I said a few months ago, well, it's probably too cold to run. And I got scolded by a listener from Maine who informed me that, you know, no matter how cold it is, it could be 11 degrees out, he's going to run. So I will tell you, if you subscribe to it, you can listen to the show while you're running. Anyway, as I said yesterday, we just got a ton of mailbag questions this week, a ton of good mailbag questions. So I feel like this is the kind of week where maybe we take a look at a second mailbag, especially because next week, with everything that's going to be happening, we may not have time to do a mailbag. So we'll get our second mailbag in this week. First question deals with the draft. And this is a really interesting question. Many prospects get drafted based on projections or potential. Which forms of potential do you look for and which do you tend to avoid? Some scenarios include prospects who have failed drug tests, have superior size to athleticism, have high levels of production outside the Power Five, are excellent in agility or acceleration at the combine drills, have maturity issues, have an injury history, have one above average skill or trait, played in a scheme that was simple and were not asked to do much, shown flashes but lack consistency, or are undersized. Well, you know, you have to take a holistic view of these players as they enter the draft. You know, so there's no one-size-fits-all answer. You know, there may be a guy who completely fits the opposite of the description I'm about to give you. So, you know, I'm a big believer that each player is individual. But if you're asking me in general what I prefer, if I can only choose one or two traits, I mean, I prefer the guys who produce in college. All things equal, and listen, that does not mean that every single time a guy puts up great numbers, I'm going to pick him over a guy who's more athletic. It's, you know, ultimately it comes down to the players. But in a broad sense, I generally prefer guys who are productive to guys who aren't. You know, you can go crazy with the combine, slicing and dicing how guys do with their drills, but I think we've pretty much seen that doing great at drills in the combine does not necessarily equate to being a great NFL player. You know, you talk about guys who have elite athletic potential, okay. But if you're not doing it in a game, certainly it's possible you put all the pieces together. Certainly if you have raw athleticism, it's better than not being athletic. But if you're a guy who has raw athleticism and doesn't really produce in college, to me that's kind of a red flag. To me the biggest red flag is, you know, when you hear a guy just isn't motivated, doesn't work hard enough. And I remember a few years ago, I think it was Mike Maccagnan's first draft, the Jets picked a guy in the fifth round, Jarvis Harrison, which was notable because it's one of only two times Mike Maccagnan's drafted an offensive lineman in his tenure. But I remember at the point the Jets drafted him, people said, oh boy, well, this guy's got so much talent. It's just a matter of him working hard. You know, he's not a hard worker. This is a great pick because the guy's got the talent. All he has to do is work hard. And I'm like, that's not good. That's probably the last player I'd want, because it's tough to teach a guy to work hard. You have to have desire. And that's especially true in the NFL, because you cannot coast on ability in the NFL. Unless you have just otherworldly talent, you cannot coast in the NFL. Every single player in the NFL has talent. And this is something that I think is easy to forget. When we talk about a bad NFL player, we talk about a guy who's a scrub, who's a camp body, you forget that to make an NFL training camp, you have to be just one of the most incredible athletes in the world, one of the most incredible football players that's out there. It's easy to forget how talented even the bad guys in the NFL are. I mean, even the guys who really aren't good players, they're so talented. It's unbelievable. These guys were really good. Odds are, and I mean, with a few exceptions like your Hackenbergs, but almost anybody who's in an NFL camp was a really good college player. And to be a really good college player, you have to be super talented. When you get to the NFL, it's not just about talent. It's about desire. It's about work ethic. You have to work hard. You have to buy into what your team is trying to develop you into. You have to study hard. You know, you just you cannot coast on raw ability in the NFL. You know, I think of Quinton Coppola, if you remember him, guy the Jets drafted in the first round of 2012. There are lots of guys who are just misevaluations, guys who really aren't that great in the first round. You know, guys who really should not be, I shouldn't say not that, you know, I just went on telling you about how everybody's talented. Now I'm telling you guys aren't talented who are picked in the, their first round picks who really have no business being first round picks. And they're just missed evaluations. I mean, I think Coppola's had as much ability as anybody, and this is the guy who proves my point. This guy had as much natural ability as anybody who was drafted in 2012. But you know, all the talk about him was, you know, maybe it was just, and Rex Ryan said it out loud. You know, something was missing there. Vernon Golston back in 2008, and this is one of the great myths out there is that Vernon Golston was not a productive college player. I mean, he was. You look at his college numbers, they were very good. But he just didn't have the desire. He had as much ability as anybody could ever want. But he just did not have the desire to be a great player. That's what people said about him. So you can watch Hard Knocks, you can hear about that. So it's, to me, there's no bigger knock on a guy than, you know, he doesn't have heart, or he's not a hard worker, he doesn't have the desire. There's nothing worse than that. When we talk about quote-unquote character issues, to me that's, you know, something that has to come down to the scouts. I mean, I think that you and I are not necessarily in a position to evaluate stuff about, you know, somebody got in trouble in college, something doesn't check out. That's something the scouts need to figure out, because it's tough to tell. I mean, how many times is it just somebody's in college and does something stupid? I mean, look, if you were in college, you know, you probably would not want your employer to know about everything you did. That's just how it is. I think everybody does stupid stuff in college. So, you know, is it a case where you just, it was an isolated incident, he did something stupid? Was it the case where, you know, you were not great going in, you had some issues going in, and then you got your act together while you were in school? Or is it the case where there's something seriously wrong, you know, where you know, there is something to worry about, where there's an issue there that has not gone away during your time in college? So that, I mean, we're talking about character concerns, as you mentioned. I think that that's it's just something the scouts need to figure out. And the scouts figure that out because they talk to the people around them. They talk to the coaches. They talk to people in the know who can tell you, who can provide more insight into, you know, was something an isolated incident? Was this somebody who came in and was causing problems, then, you know, straightened up and, you know, now there are no concerns, or are these more lasting concerns? You know, it's tough to say. But I think in general, I want the guys who are productive, you know, and that does not guarantee, look, you can look at the record setters statistically in NCAA football, and there are lots of guys who did nothing in the NFL. There are some guys who, you know, are late bloomers, who don't do much in college, aren't that productive, and then come to the NFL, they get with the right coaching staff, they get a guy who knows how to motivate them, how to develop them, how to make the pieces fit together, and they become good players. So I'm not saying there's no one size fits all answer, but in general, I want a guy who's productive. I want, if you're good in college, odds are, you know, odds are you have a better shot of being good in the pros than somebody who was, you know, an underachiever in college, even if that person's more athletic. So that's kind of how I view it. I mean, I don't think there's a, I think it's a matter of preference. You know, if you feel different from me, that doesn't necessarily mean make me wrong, right, and you wrong. Just a different, that's just kind of my preference. Special Friday mailbag edition of the Locked On Jets podcast. Next question: did any players sway you one way or the other after the combine? Not really. I don't like to draw sweeping conclusions from the combine. This is something I've discussed in the past. I think a guy like a Quinnen Williams, who objectively, when you observe him on the film, and he looks extremely athletic, when he goes out there and does a great job at the combine, it just kind of confirms to you, it's another validation that the guy is athletic, the guy is probably worth an early pick. But, you know, I don't love to draw sweeping conclusions from the combine, because we've got plenty of footage of how these guys actually do on the football field. And, you know, as I've said many times, the combine does not necessarily simulate the types of movements players make during a football game, because they're not wearing pads. And you know, and the thing everybody emphasizes more than anything is the 40-yard dash, which is not something that that players do a whole lot. The players don't run 40 yards in a straight line a whole lot during a football game. So, you know, I don't know that this is going to really impact my views on these players all that much. I mean, you look at Gary from Michigan, you know, pretty much the consensus on him, the book on him, is that incredible physical tools, but a disturbing lack of production. So he goes out and does a great job at the combine, Okay, well, we already knew he had great physical tools, but that doesn't answer my questions about his lack of production. And even some of the guys who, you know, did not do that well at the combine, like the Georgia guys, Holyfield and Ridley. I mean, I've watched these guys play. I feel like Holyfield's better than his combine numbers would show. And, you know, you still have the pro days. You know, these guys will still get tested at the pro days. So I think one of the things that's easy to forget is we all have bad days. We all have bad days at our jobs. And that goes for players, too. Sometimes a player just has a bad day. It happens to fall on the combine. And so, you know, even some, that's something you have to take into account is maybe the guy just had a rough day. Maybe just for whatever reason, things weren't working for him that day. And he put up a performance that's not emblematic of the type of player he is. So, you know, I don't love to, I think you can go a little crazy overemphasizing the combine. And I think the reason we do it is just that we don't have a lot of news right now. You know, we don't have games to analyze anymore. So we tend to overanalyze what little information we get. I really think that that's part of why the combine is draws such attention. Next question. Jets plan seems to be shaping up. Interior offensive line guys and running backs can be found mostly in free agency. Edge rushers can be found in the draft. Wide receivers more likely in later rounds or not at all. Do you agree? I agree with some of it. I think, yeah, I would foresee the Jets making a play in free agency for some of the interior offensive linemen. All the buzz is they're going to sign a running back. I mean, pretty much anybody. There's a lot of conflicting news about which running back they're going to sign. I mean, I've seen some people suggest they're the favorite for Le'Veon Bell. I've seen other people suggest they're not going to make that hard of a push for Le'Veon Bell, but everybody seems to think they're signing a running back. The people who think they are not going to end up with Le'Veon Bell say that the Jets will end up with Tevin Coleman or somebody. So, I mean, the running back position, I think, certainly will be addressed in free agency. I think wide receiver, I'm not sure we're talking later round. I would not be surprised to see a wide receiver with one of the third round picks. I think that, you know, the buzz seems to be this is a good receiver year, deep receiver class. So I'm not sure. I'd say late rounds, maybe, you know, day two or so. And we talk edge rushers. I think the Jets are going to sign an edge rusher in free agency. I'd see it. I don't think that these two are mutually exclusive because you don't just want one edge rusher. You don't just want one quality edge rusher. It's not like you get one edge rusher and then you're all set. Offenses can take one edge rusher away. They can, you know, slide their guys in his direction. If you only have one, they can double team, they can chip. I mean, they can make his life tough. So getting one edge rusher, that doesn't solve your problems. So you need multiple edge. I think the Jets will probably sign one. I would not be surprised to see them draft one. Or maybe they won't go off the edge. And, you know, Quinnen Williams is very much, I think Quinnen Williams is going to be very much on the table. And I think, you know, it might be a tough sell for people, but he might be the right pick if the Jets do not trade down. And, you know, this is we're getting back into the parallels to 2015. Just throw out the parallels to 2015. You know, everybody says, well, they drafted last time we heard about a guy named Williams who was an interior lineman who was the best player in the draft. Jets picked him, and he's been kind of disappointed. Well, that doesn't mean Quinnen Williams is going to be the same player. I mean, remember a couple of years ago when Lattimore was on the board at corner and everybody said, well, he's been injury prone. And D. Milner was injury prone. Therefore, Lattimore is automatically going to be exactly like D. Milner. Hasn't worked out that way. So you can't base your stuff. You can't base stuff on the past like that. But yeah, I think more or less that's how I see it. I think running interior offensive line will be addressed in free agency. I think running back will be addressed in free agency. I think you'll look at a pass, whether it's an edge rusher or an interior pass rusher. I think you're probably looking at signing one and then maybe drafting one, and then wide receiver, maybe, you know, round three or so. I think maybe that's where I would expect an edge pass rusher, or I'm sorry, a wide receiver for the Jets to be active in the wide receiver market. We have another question about edge rusher, which I think I kind of just answered. With many of the edge rushers the Jets were probably going to target in free agency are now tagged, how do you recommend the Jets address the edge this offseason? Who's your guy, free agent or drafted guy? I think I talked about this on yesterday's show. I mean, I'd look at Flowers from New England, I look at Houston from Kansas City, and then, you know, I wouldn't mind drafting a guy. And as I just said, you know, I've heard people criticize the idea of signing a couple edge rushers and then drafting a guy. Well, having three pass rushers would be a wonderful thing. That's not a problem. One thing you could never have too much of in the NFL are pass rushers, so I would not have an issue with that. And our last question, with franchise tag, in light of the Landon Collins debacle for the Giants, as Jets fans should be worried in a few years about when we have to franchise Jamal Adams or Sam Darnold. No, I would not be worried about that. And I don't think that the two are really all that related. I mean, look, we've seen plenty of times where teams are able to lock up their players, to lock up their quality players to long-term extensions. I mean, I think, first of all, let's hope we're in a position where we really want to lock up Jamal Adams and Sam Darnold. And Adams certainly had a stellar year, too. You want to see him continue on that trend, you know. And I think one of the things that we forget is players' careers do not always end up on a trajectory going straight up. I mean, sometimes you have a great year two and a bad year three. Hope you avoid that with Adams. You hope Adams keeps progressing, and same thing with Sam. You hope he keeps progressing as well. You know, you hope he continues to develop, and by the time he's a free agent, you're giving him the keys to the city. You know, you hope you're giving him whatever he wants because he's just too valuable. So first of all, you hope that these guys are so valuable that you really want to keep them, that even if they cannot agree to extensions, you give them the franchise tag. But I mean, that's number one. They have to perform over these next few years to develop into the stars they're capable of developing into. But I mean, look, I think the hope is that if they do develop that way, that you lock them up to long-term extensions before they get to the franchise tag. And I mean, I would be a little upset if Darnold looks the part of a franchise quarterback, if he's really put the pieces together and you don't have him locked up to a long-term deal by the time he's hitting free agency, you've done something wrong, because that's the type of deal that you got to get done early. The quarterback position is too important to mess around with. I don't want to go into a situation that, look, if your options are letting him hit the open market, he's a franchise quarterback, and B, you know, you can't reach a deal. Your options are either letting him hit the open market or using the franchise tag. Then you use the franchise tag. But, you know, just to get back to the question, I mean, I don't think that Landon Collins' situation is necessarily indicative of what will happen with the Jets. I don't even think they're really related. I mean, these are two different front offices. These are different players. I don't think that there's really – I don't see a ton of parallels. I don't see anything that would make me say that because this happened with Landon Collins, this is going to happen with the Jets. This is more likely to happen with the Jets. I think these are two isolated cases, two very different cases. So I think we should just all hope that by the time these guys are ready to hit free agency, they're that good that you want to hold on to them. And to be honest with you, I think Landon Collins is a little overrated. I think he had a stellar year too. I'm not sure he's as good as people are making him out to be, though. In all honesty, and maybe that's a bit of a controversial take, I'm not sold on this idea Landon Collins is some sort of, you know, cornerstone piece. That's just me, though. Anyway, thank you for listening to our show today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will be back again next week to talk more Jets as the offseason kicks into gear.